self-reflective.
That blue represents millions of dollars and countless jobs.
Fill yourself up and keep your cup full.
Also, I believe in shea butter as a core value.
There's a supreme moment of destiny.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Styling Soul Podcast, your home at the intersection of style and wellness. I am your host, Kendra Monet, and I am just so glad that you are spending your time with me here today. I know that your time is precious. I do not take it for granted. And thank you so much for hanging out with me. So today, I really, really want to focus on that well part. I know that this season has been interesting for all of us. And I know for me in particular, it's been very interesting. My COVID story is it was a woozy. I will share more details with you guys later, but long story short, I pivoted my career. I got the coronavirus. I went home for what I thought would be a week, and I was home for 3.5 months, in that span of time, I got the coronavirus and then passed it on to my father, who did not heal as quickly as I did. So that was a scary time. And this whole situation resulted in me being in my parents' house in South Carolina for 3.5 months, unexpectedly, like so many other millennials who found themselves at home with their parents in quarantine. And so now I'm back in NYC and I've been here for a few months again, and I'm really starting to get back into a lifestyle. You know, I know that in this new normal, we all had to figure out what our lives would look like. And now I'm figuring it out. It was when I got back initially, I was ordering a lot of takeout. Y'all heard me talk about that. Not only is that not very fiscally responsible, but it's not very responsible for your waistline either, if that's something that you are at all trying to keep the same. So that expanded a bit. But I'm back being active. I'm back doing my yoga. I'm back cooking most of my meals, and I'm incorporating lots of good, healthy things into my diet. And so I'm feeling good, and I'm feeling like I got my mojo back a little bit, because it's so easy right now to lose it. I mean, there are a lot of things going on externally in the world. We've got a pandemic. We have economic downturn. There's racial injustice. There's President 45. There's Kanye ranting on Twitter. I mean, my goodness, it is a lot. But with all this stuff going on externally, we still have to deal with ourselves. We still have our internal wellness to deal with. And sometimes it can make happiness and success or whatever that is to you feel like it's really, really far away. For those of us that are ambitious, we can feel the weight of our dreams on our shoulders so heavy that it feels like we're drowning. I know I've been there. I'm somebody who has a lot of goals and an unexplainable need to be productive. And I can't even express to you why I always choose to put so much on my plate. But when we're dreaming so big and working so hard, it can be hard not to ask the question, why aren't I there yet? Why aren't I there yet? You might have asked this yourself. I know I have a lot of friends who work in film production, or I have some friends that are theater actresses or dancers or lawyers or even teachers. And you're like, why am I not that administrator yet? Why am I not on that 40 under 40 list? But I might have the answer to that question for you. We are going to get into all of the reasons why, specifically 10 reasons why you're not there yet. But first, it's industry tea time.
The tea is exceptionally good today. Who made this? Very delicious. Hold on.
We have another Fashion Week update this week because it is New York Fashion Week, and this is the first ever digitally focused Fashion Week, and Runway 360 by the CFDA was live to show you all of the live shows. And I am really, really enjoying this. I was really curious to see how it was going to go, but this is really forcing designers to get creative. And of course, you can see the difference in brands because some brands have large budgets and some brands don't. And some people are filmmakers and some just aren't. But I am being actually blown away by a lot of them. So just honorable mention is to Adeem. I absolutely loved this show. We saw Runway, which I enjoyed because even though it's, you know, we're doing things creatively, but I still want to see a bit of a catwalk. So she managed to do a presentation that took advantage of the digital by showing detail in ways that you can't show, but it was also pretty live. So we were actually able to see the runway walks, which I enjoyed. So Adeem is by Hanako Maeda. She is a Japanese designer. And so we really got to see the influence of her culture. She gave us Japanese summer. We saw crisp white linens, deconstructed tailoring. I love a new, show me a new way to wear a button up. Yes, these are the clothes that I am wearing, like in my alternate universe. You know, the me that can just buy a $700 button up and not think about it is wearing these things. I can't price that correctly. I didn't check the prices, but you get what I'm saying. So she really incorporated her culture well, and the collection just married Zen with workwear and multifunctionality and just meditation. And it was absolutely beautiful. And even though it's New York Fashion Week, we got to get this global perspective that we really wouldn't have been able to get if it weren't digital. Also, honorable mention to Alice and Olivia. She used a diverse group of dancers with multiple types of dance. We saw a little bit of hip hop dancing. We had some Black Girl Magic in there with the natural hair. I was like, yes. We also saw point toe shoes. So we had ballet in there and it was beautiful. And there was a red leather jacket and a pink bubble coat that a higher version of myself is wearing in spring, summer 2021. So the Fashion Week is still going. I'll have a bit of a trend report and what I loved for you next week. But yes, so far I'm very impressed. In retail news, Tiffany & Co. and LVMH are feuding. It is a full-blown catfight. The claws are out. They're going for the jugular. They're trying to take each other down. So if you know LVMH, that's Louis Vuitton, Moet, and Hennessy, it is the largest luxury conglomerate in the world. And they own many of the luxury brands that you know as household names. And they were set out to buy the famed jewelry house, Tiffany & Co., for $16.2 billion. But guess what? They backed out and they changed their minds. And Tiffany is not having it. She is not going out without a fight, and she is calling them out. So Tiffany & Co. is suing LVMH because LVMH actually came knocking at their door first last year. They weren't even up for sale, but when the pandemic hit, LVMH was like, girl, what are you doing? You're looking raggedy. You're looking crazy. And LVMH changed their mind. They said that they didn't like the way that they handled business during the pandemic. And they were basically like, you can't sit here. So the saga continues. They're going to court next week. I'm really curious to see what happens. LVMH says they didn't do anything wrong. Tiffany & Co. says, y'all are being shady. Who's going to win? I don't know. In beauty news, did you know that your computer can give you wrinkles? Yeah, I know. Okay, so we know that blue light can cause damage to the retina, which I definitely have experienced being on the computer for a while, and my eyes really will hurt. They'll get dry, and sometimes I'll even get a headache when I'm on the computer for too long, but I'm on the computer all the time. So I use blue light glasses to help solve that problem, but apparently it can cause premature aging too, and the beauty industry is responding. So there have been a lot of products this past year in 2020 that have come out and have used blue light protection in their marketing. And so products that have been using this messaging have gone up about 170% since March. People are home. One, people are actually spending more on beauty products in general, but also people are on their screens all day. So this is like the response to being on Zoom meetings. People are like, okay, I don't want this blue light, you know, causing my skin to sag. So, but dermatologists say that a mineral sunscreen will do just fine. So you don't really have to go out of your way to incorporate a whole new product that you've never heard of before. But some experts say blue light isn't actually all that bad. I mean, I don't know one day everything is bad for you. The next day you find out that it's some miracle cure. So who knows? But all I want to say is, if you can't go to your computer screen, then where can you go?
Lemon E. Best day of tea since the show began.
So now that we got all of our industry tea time in the way, let's examine the idea of why haven't we arrived yet. So I was talking to one of my friends, and this really does extend upon the idea of contentment, right? So I was talking to one of my friends, and homegirl, if you're listening, yes, I am using our private conversation as an example for the podcast today. But, you know, she was talking about feeling a bit of a depression, feeling a bit of a downed state right now, which I think is totally normal and actually to be expected. We're in our house all the time. We're isolated from a lot of the people that we love. I mean, depending on your personality or your mental makeup, a lot of us are not built for this. Like, I know I am someone who I literally do not do well when I'm just inside for too long. I have to get out. I have to take a walk. Thankfully, I live in a city. So when I do step outside, I feel like I can get some action just by taking a walk around the block. Actually, sometimes I'm getting too much action because it gets real crazy out here in Harlem. But the point is that she was feeling a bit down. And so we were discussing that, oh, she thought that her new job might have got her out of her rut. And then she was like, well, maybe when I move, I'll be out of this rut. Or maybe when I do this, I'll be out of the rut. But the point is that when we continue to put contentment at something that we don't have right now, the bar is constantly getting higher. The bar is getting further away. When we keep saying, I'll be happy when XYZ, when we get XYZ, it's going to be something else. And this is a really, really hard thing to do, but we really have to find a way to not make contentment and happiness seem like they're so far off and so intangible where we are now. I know that you want to be there and you're asking, why aren't I there yet? But what if you ask yourself, how can I find peace and contentment and happiness where I am today? And that doesn't mean that your goals go away. It doesn't mean that you no longer are striving for more, but what about where you are right now? So why aren't you there yet? Number one, you haven't arrived because you're exactly where you're supposed to be. I know that sounds cliche, but really, I mean, we just passed the anniversary of 9/11, the memorial of 9/11, which was a horrible time in this country. And now that I'm in New York City, I see more and more how it affected people firsthand, because to me, it was an American tragedy, but I was also very far away from it. I had an aunt who worked in the area, and she was one of those people that, you know, didn't take the train that day. But I know a lot of people here in New York where it really touched their families personally, but there are so many stories of people who missed the elevator, and so they were able to get out in time. Or there are people whose child had to go to the first day of kindergarten, so they took them there instead of going to work. Or there might have been someone who forgot, locked their keys in the car, and they couldn't get in. Whatever the case is, you never know how the holdup is helping you. You might be viewing your current situation as something that is holding you back, as something that is in the way of where you want to be, but you don't even know what it's saving you from. You don't know who you're supposed to meet, what you're supposed to learn, exactly where you are. So we truly, truly, truly have to trust that we are on the right track and that we're on the right pace, even though it's frustrating and it doesn't feel like it. So number two, why aren't you there yet? You might not be there yet because you simply have not put in the work. Let's be honest. It's really easy to feel like you're an expert when you actually haven't learned everything that you have to learn yet. I'll take myself. 5 years ago, I was like, Look, honey, I've been in this game for 2 years. I should be on top of the world. Make me the director of your department. I don't need to be anybody's assistant. I have 2 years of experience. No, that's not the way that it goes. You have to earn your stripes, and you have to have a good attitude about earning your stripes. So I think it's great to have humility, and that's what I'm trying to learn now too. I have to have humility in where I am today and know that, okay, there's something I can learn from the people around me and the situation that I'm in right now, and I'm determined to put in the work. If you listen to episode 2, I talked about my diary of a bad employee, and I was like, you know, I had the mindset that I have talent, I have skill, I have tenacity, I'm smart. All of these things should be equaling major success and lots of money. Why is it not happening yet? Work is the one thing that nobody can disagree with or ignore. When you walk into that office or that whatever situation that you're in and you are working hard, it pays off. Hard work literally pays off, and nobody can take it away from you when you show up and you do the thing. So if you're not where you want to be, do the work. And if you think you're doing enough work, then do more. Number 3, you're not there yet because you haven't grounded yourself in other areas of your life. It's very easy to feel like your professional life and your spiritual life and your relational life are all separate entities, but they're not. We have one body, we have one mind, and we have one spirit, and they are the common denominator in all of your experiences. So you really cannot say that how you treat your family and how you show up at work are totally separate. They're going to bleed into one area or another. And sometimes we have to get certain things right before we can elevate in other areas. I know personally, there's been a lot of things I had to learn about time management, about discipline, about money management, that if I were at the place I am today, a few years ago, I wouldn't have been able to maintain it. And I would have ruined it. But we're all growing. You're not going to be perfect. It's not saying that, oh, you don't deserve to arrive or to accelerate because you're not perfect yet, because we're not going to be perfect. But we do have to make sure that we're getting these other areas of your life together. It's funny. I was on a Zoom call for my friend Michelle's baby shower, virtual baby shower. She is expecting a baby. We don't know the gender. I think she's going to be a girl. But so we're on the call, and I was just working, and I was on my laptop, and I was like, oh, my teammate texts me. These are my college teammates. We all played college volleyball together. And one of my teammates texts me and was like, where are you? And I just flashed back to college. I was like, oh my gosh, I'll be right there. But I flashed back to college when I did well. I performed. I always showed up and played well, but I definitely was not always there when it came to making sure that I didn't oversleep or making sure that my alarm was set. Or, you know, one of my teammates even pointed out that I used to try and save time. So I used to pre-paste my toothbrush at night. I know that makes absolutely no sense, but that is just an example of how I was always flying by the seat of my pants and rushing from one place to another. Every now and then I have my moments, but thank God I do not live my life that way anymore, because if I was still that flustered and unorganized, there's no way I would be able to be successful. And so there's little things that I try to do so that they can go into other areas of my life. Like, I'm not someone who just has an innate desire to make my bed in the morning. But when I get up now, I make my bed because I know that it is starting my day off with order, and that's going to bleed into other areas of my life. Everything is connected. So if you want to be excellent at work, try being excellent at home. If you want to be excellent at home, try being excellent in your friendships. they will all blend together. Number four, you're not there yet because you are despising the very grunt work that will make you shine. Patience is so key. I was listening to the Michelle Obama podcast, which is like a blessing because, yes, I want Michelle Obama in my ears. So I was listening to the podcast and she was talking about mentorship. And so this was a two-part episode. One episode, she talked about mentorship with someone who mentored her. And on another, she was talking with her mentees and the women that she currently mentors. And when she was talking about those young women around her, the thing that they all had in common, and she was discussing this with her peer, is that all of these people started off in lowly positions, but they did it well. You can't think that you're above something to the point that you don't steward that responsibility well enough for somebody to see your skills. You may not be able to be shining where you want to be, but you need to shine there. I know someone who was asking me, I don't want to give too many details, but someone that was asking me about how to get connected with an organization that I'm working with. And I was trying to give her as many tips as I could, but she really wasn't interested in doing the things that I told her that she needed to do because she really wanted to roll with the big dogs. And I was showing her some little things that she could do to prove herself before she got there. It may not be making a lot of money, or it might not be sometimes making any money, but you need to do it to shine. And she wasn't really open to doing that. Turns out when I talked to someone else that she was working with, they said that she wanted that opportunity, but she wasn't doing well at her current role. You can't have something else, another role or another level on such a pedestal that it makes you despise where you are today to the point that you're not taking care of it. I may not be exactly where I want to be, but I'm going to show up here and make sure you can see the skills that I have that are going to be useful at the next level so that you can get me there. Sometimes it's going to take the grunt work, but we have to be patient. And if you want to be trusted with much, you have to be faithful in little. And that is something that I'm learning more and more and putting into practice more and more each day, especially with my money. I'm like, okay, God, I want more coin in the bank, but I have to treat the money I have now the right way. I need to steward it the right way. I'm a tither. I need to make sure that I'm tithing. If I can't handle being without 10% of my income right now, if I can't manage 90% of my income now, how am I going to manage more money? It's all principles that really just help us to grow. A plus B equals C. First grade, second grade, third grade. We have to take these ordered steps to get to where we're going, and we cannot despise it along the way. Number five, moving right along. You are not there yet because you have believed lies about yourself and it's starting to show. Confidence is so, so, so key because the way that we view ourselves is really the first introduction to others about how they should view us. And we can go through certain experiences that will knock us off our horse a bit and cause us to have some self-doubt. But that's why we have to surround ourselves with people that'll hype us back up. I told you, I got my mojo back. You know, I had a day where I'm like, where's my creativity? What am I doing? All it took was a conversation with a friend. And it's okay. It doesn't have to come from inside all the time. It took a conversation with somebody I love that had to remind me like, nah, girl, you're doing the right thing. You've got it going on a bit. I believe in you. You have to surround yourself with people that can tell you the truth about yourself when you can't see it, because sometimes it's hard to see yourself. Even if we look at sight in the way that physical sight works, we can literally see everything around us except for ourselves. So sometimes you might need to go to a friend when you're not feeling it and say, hey, I'm feeling stuck. Can you remind me of some of my skills or what am I good at? It's not weak to need a word of affirmation every now and then. Of course, you can give it to yourself with affirmations, but sometimes you might need to hear it from somebody else. And if nobody else is around or obviously we don't need to rely on others all the time, that's when we have to hype ourselves up. We have to have affirmations. I know that I'm really big on telling myself that I am capable of handling everything on my to-do list. People want to work with me. I attract opportunities. Those are things that I'm constantly telling myself. But I read recently on The Good Trade. The Good Trade is a newsletter that I follow. And I was reading something that they were talking about confidence and positive self-talk. And they said, maybe you're not at the place where you can do positive self-talk because you feel like you're lying, but maybe you can do neutral self-talk. And so neutral self-talk is nothing but facts. So that just says, okay, neutral self-talk, rather than saying, oh, I hate my body, neutral self-talk says, some days I love my body and some days I don't. That frees yourself from feeling stuck to the hatred of it. Or neutral self-talk says that you just call out the facts that, hey, I accomplished this today, something that's true. So neutral self-talk reminds you of things that are true, and it grounds you when you're going off the deep end. It grounds you in the reality that usually you're doing all right. And that's the truth. You're doing great. You may not be where you want to be, but you're here. You got up this morning. You handled maybe at least one thing off your to-do list. You have to remind yourself that you are competent. And I know I've been through certain situations that made me question my competence for a little while. Maybe I worked with an employer that didn't see my potential, or maybe I was working with a group that I felt didn't see what I had to bring to the table. I had to go back to the drawing board and remind myself. You know what I did today to actually give myself a boost? I had to look back at my past accomplishments. We shouldn't be too tied to the things that we've done in the past, but sometimes you need to get inspired by yourself. You have to turn off everything around you and look back to the good things that you've done before. You've gotten hired before. You've gotten a promotion before. You've graduated before. Maybe you've fallen in love before. Guess what? You can do it again. Number 6, maybe you're not there because you weren't dealt the best cards. And that is a reality. Some people have privilege in some ways that helps them start a bit closer to the finish line than you. But guess what that requires? More training, more wanting it more, more tenacity, more resilience. You may not, if you've started off a bit further from the training, from the finish line, then I bet you've learned how to get up. You've learned how to navigate. You need to look at your situation and say, okay, I may not have been given the tools, but what tools was I given that they weren't? Because I bet you have some. So you may have not been dealt the hand that you want, but you probably have experiences that have given you the skills and the street smarts to be able to use the hand that you have. And so you have to go after that hand with a little bit of oomph in it, with a little bit of swagger to it. And you have to go for it. I always go back to volleyball examples because so much of my life was spent playing volleyball. But that was my thing. When I'm tall, I am almost 5'11", but in volleyball land for my position, volleyball land, but in the volleyball world, that was short for my position. I played middle blocker in college. A lot of the girls across the net were 6'2", 6'3". I was a short girl for my position. Hard to believe. But if I saw a girl that was tall like that across from me, I was like, okay, I bet I'm faster than her. I bet I'm quicker than her. I bet I have more sight than her. I bet I can hit around her. Don't look at somebody else's hand and wish that you had it. Look at your hand and figure out how to play defense. All right. So speaking of that, number 7, you're not there yet because you're comparing yourself. You're not there yet because what you're looking to isn't even yours. How can you be happy with your plate of food if you're just watching somebody else eat all the time? You really have to stop comparing yourself and trust that your journey is your own. When I find myself comparing myself to someone, you know what I do? Get rid of them. gotta go. It's nothing against them, but it's, if it's not healthy for you and you're not in the place where you can say follow somebody on social media who you admire, then maybe you have to unfollow them. And even if it's me, unfollow me if I bring you bad energy when I come across your timeline, especially with social media where we have 100% control over the energy that we're creating. There's even someone that I really was enjoying following for inspiration, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with being inspired by someone. But recently, I wasn't feeling inspired. I was feeling a bit of comparison, and I don't want to do that. And so I was like, okay, maybe I have to work on whatever it is that's making me feel that way. Nothing against her. Maybe I'll be able to follow her again next week when I'm feeling better. Actually, I'm feeling better today, so I probably could. But I was in a place of creative block, and this person was creating a lot. And so I was finding myself looking to their creations, the work that they were putting out, in a way that I don't think was exactly right. So I had to stop comparing myself. And I actually, this week, I said that I wasn't going to look at anything that was style, anything that was beauty and wellness in the space that I'm in. And instead, I started looking at inspiration from arenas that are totally different than mine, or maybe they're parallel. But I was like, let me look at inspiration from, say, an inspirational speaker, like somebody that is in a more of a faith-based realm. Or maybe I can look at the food bloggers that I like and look at the food space and get inspired by that. Or maybe I just need to cut it all off and read. Actually, what I did, I was watching a lot of Girlfriends on Netflix. That has been a whole blessing to me, because Joan got those outfits off. Okay. I know I'm off topic, but bear with me. Who's watching Girlfriends on Netflix and looking at these outfits that Joan Clayton, Tracee Ellis Ross character, was wearing? Homegirl was getting those outfits off. But anyway, sometimes you just have to take it down a notch. We are in a culture right now. I know that everybody is a coach. Everybody has a webinar. Everybody has a course. And you want to learn from all these people, but it can get really overwhelming. And you can somehow cross the boundary from being inspired to trying to replicate. And you can cross the boundary from looking at someone's life or looking at someone's content for enjoyment and inspiration to looking at and starting to compare it to your own. You have to stay in your own lane. It's made for you. Okay. So moving right along, number 8, you're not there yet because your eye is on the wrong prize. And this isn't for everyone, but I know it was definitely for me. You'll know that you're in the right lane when you're doing something that comes so naturally to you, but it still makes people say, wow, thank you. So for me, I was in a situation where I felt that I was in a place of stagnancy in my career for the past few years, but I was tunnel vision on fashion PR only. Okay. And I still have those skills, and I'm not totally out to working with people on very small project basis. And, you know, at the end of the day, I'm a storyteller, and that doesn't have to be put in a box. But I was set on working specifically in communications within a fashion brand. And I won't say just PR, because I've often worked at startups. So usually a lot of times PR and marketing were within the same role, but I was determined I need to be working within a fashion brand, handling the marketing and the PR. But that tunnel vision was keeping me from seeing opportunities that actually were for me. A lot of the times you might be at a standstill because you're not actually completely on the right path. Maybe something was a detour and you got married to the detour and you never got back on the track that you were supposed to be on. When I moved to New York, it was because I had an internship with Cosmo Magazine that I talked about. And I also was working with another publication, Storytelling. I was styling and I was writing and I was creating this creative content. I got lost in the sauce, very transparently. I was early on, so sometimes we have to learn. And I'm so glad, actually, that I did get all the experience that I did by jumping around from these different places. But I lost track of my vision. I had one vision when I came that I ultimately believe was a divine vision, a word from God about the path of my life, and which is more editorial. Career and path for your life, that's a whole nother story. I won't even act like your job is an ultimate divine calling, but it can be a means to an end, correct? So anyways, I had a vision, I had a plan, but then I got distracted by shiny things. So I wasn't enjoying working in a bit more of the celebrity focused culture that I was in. And so when I was getting all these PR blasts to my email, and I started to compare myself. I started to say, oh, look at the PR girls. I like what they're doing. Look at this company. I started to lose sight of all of the good things of where I was. And so I decided to switch sides of the computer. If you know anything about the industry, you know that PR and editors, we work very closely together. So I decided to switch sides of the computer to go into the agency side. And it wasn't for me. It wasn't for me. That's no shade to who I am. It just wasn't my thing. But I was trying to force it for a very, very long time. But let me tell you guys, the moment that I looked up from the tunnel vision that I had on that lane, so many opportunities started to come my way. And so maybe you've married yourself to an idea that might not be the best fit for you. And this isn't for everybody, but it is for who it is for. You might be married to a path that was never supposed to be yours anyway, or maybe it was supposed to be a stepping stone. Because I do believe that a lot of that experience I got was so valuable and is going to be used moving forward. But that doesn't mean that I had to be married to that specific path, working in the communications department within a fashion brand. I got married to it no matter how many doors slammed on my face, no matter how many crazy situations I was in. I committed to it. And sometimes everything doesn't deserve your commitment. You're not quitting, you're reevaluating and you're pivoting. And when I tell you, pivoting was the best decision that I could have made. Number 9, it's simply not your time. And all of that makes sense later. Sometimes it's just not your time to arrive. And that could be for a number of reasons that we mentioned before. And finally, number 10, you may never be quote unquote there. And I'm not saying this to be a pessimist, but I'm saying that maybe there doesn't exist. Maybe we shouldn't have so much weight, so much pressure put on this dream idea of a life that we have in our mind, because maybe what is for you is even more beautiful than what you've imagined, but you're so stuck on that you can't see the beauty on what's in front of you. Many people get their dream job and they realize that that's still not it. You could have a work towards a goal for years and years, and then you finally arrive and it doesn't taste as sweet as you thought it would. And that's because there's so much joy in the journey. There's so much joy in the things that we learn along the way. And so if we could all prioritize our journeys, if we can all have joy in every step of the way, whether that's your single time while you're trying to meet people, rather than being frustrated that you haven't met the one, how about have fun dating? Rather than being upset that you haven't gotten promoted yet, how about take that job and that position for everything that it's got? And how about instead of wishing that you could be in a new apartment or a new home, make the most out of creating a beautiful, livable home in the space that you're in now? So those are my 10 reasons why you're not there yet. I really hope that you guys enjoyed it and that you were able to take a little something from this. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe, give your girl a review, hit the 5 stars, and share it with a friend. I would love you guys to tag me on the Styling Soul Instagram. And I also will have, if you want to get any more of this, go to thestylingsoul.com/podcast and you can check out all of the episodes there. And to stay in the know, sign up for our newsletter on thestylingsoul.com. Okay, that's all the announcements I have for you. Thank you so much for hanging out with me today on the Styling Soul podcast, and I will see you right back here next week.